The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 10th day of January 2023. And, boy, do we have a lot to talk about tonight. On our producer is none other than Greg Zombar.
Hello, everybody.
And we have way out yonder in Missouri, none other than my co-host, Pastor Joe Larson. Say something, Joe. Is Joe there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, yep.
I guess we had a good connection when I called in.
Well, you're here now, and so say hello.
Hello.
All right, very
your
good.
Your God-fearing, Bible-believing patriot assistant is here.
And I am both their humble hero. That's right. Old Pastor Ernie. Well, we got a lot to talk about
old
today.
Old is the only part of that I'll buy.
We got a lot to cover tonight, don't we?
Oh, we do.
You know what I'm going to have to say, Joe, that we have a lot to cover, and folks out there, I know you like it when we open the phone lines, but tomorrow I'm planning on opening the phone lines. Tonight we have so much to cover, and believe me, we can never get it all done, and the information we get out is vital. It's what's happening right now, what you need to know. So with that, Joe, remember the title of the message?
Well, first I'd like a roll. Quick prayer request. It's
sure.
My own request. A dear friend of mine and our local fire chief, I'm the president of the local fire department, rural, and he works for four other departments. His name is Adam Webb. He had a heart attack, and they're still trying to figure out what's wrong, but he has some other heart or other body problems that are making things bad. And he's one of those people the community has depended on for years. And I'd like you to lead everybody in prayer for Adam Webb, that they can find out what's wrong, get him under control. And
do you know if he knew the Lord or not?
He knows the Lord. He's a good church-going man.
All righty, very good. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know Adam, but Lord, we know you do. And Joe just said he was saved, so we want to hold him up, Lord, and if the people will join with me all across the country out there, if they will join with me, because we know there's much, much power in prayer, we just want to hold Adam up to you and ask, Lord, that you might touch him, Lord God, and heal him and bless him with all the blessings you would have for him. And, Lord, we ask, too, that you would, from this very moment on, that you would turn his desires towards you more and more every day and every way in all things. Completely and totally, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
The title of the message, God's Word versus Man's Opinion on Who is a Jew.
Well, we've been talking about that, and so that's where we're going to pick it up tonight there. There are those, Joe.
After listening to you, that I'm a Gentile. I got that much right.
Okay. And so we have, I have a relative, and that's his last name, a Gentile. And when he's always kidding you, you know, when you say, well, you know, I'm saved and this and that, and he'll say, well, you're either a Jew or a Gentile, and referring to himself.
But, he knows who he is, I like that.
And so anyhow, I want to start with those that say they are Jews, but they are not. And we're going to pick it up where we left off in John chapter 8. Read me verses 37 through 47.
All right. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, that ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth from and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Convinceth me of sin. And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God.
That word convinces there for people that don't understand is a word that means can prove me guilty, can prove me, when he says of sin, convinces me, can prove me guilty of that sin. So anyhow, let's go back to where you started off there. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Now, he's talking about hereditary sons. Now we know they're basically... God has two types of people. Now, God is the father of all natural-born people. All natural-born
people,
he's the father. Now,
he's a creator. In that sense, we are all created by him.
Right. Now, when it comes to the spiritual here, these Pharisees and these Jewish leaders here, they were the hereditary sons of Abraham's seed. But they were not. They were not his son. They were not the sons of Abraham, because here their father was the devil.
Right. They weren't the spiritual sons at all.
Not at all.
The opposite. They were the Antichrist system.
And so here, Jesus is telling them, and then they said to him, "But we be not born of fornication." We have one Father, even God. What do you think they were trying to say?
It sounds like they're trying to say they weren't born into original sin. But I don't think that's the correct answer.
Well, no, remember the accusations made against Jesus that he was born...
A bastard child.
Right. And so they were making this virtually an esoteric message there. Now Jesus
you're
said...
You're the one that has the bad birth, and you're the one that's got the problem.
Right. And so he said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, you are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. So now he's telling them that you're really not Jews. You're the flesh of the seed of Abraham, but you're not the sons of Abraham. And so let's go now to Romans chapter 9.
All right.
In
Romans 9.
Yeah, read verses 1 through 9.
I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning all flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son.
And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children not being yet born, neither having done any good or evil, but the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of the works, but of them that called. He said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Now, here, Paul, now, there's a difference in Paul now before he met Christ and after he met Christ. Before he met Christ, what was he doing? He was going persecuting Christians.
Persecuting, killing the Christians, yeah.
Okay. But he really, literally saw the light there on the road to Damascus, didn't he?
Somebody grabbed a hold of him, turned him every way but loose, right?
Right. So he didn't leave there with any doubt. Now he's got a whole different manner about him, and he is now willing to take the punishment of his kinsmen, those that are the seeds who are Israelites that pertain to the adoption. So anyhow, he's willing to take their punishment. What do you think their punishment was?
Well, the Jews were scattered, some of them, and then the other punishment was that they were, God would come to the Gentiles and until after the tribulation, forsake Israel.
Well, the curse he's referring to is hell. He was willing to, if he could save his fellow Jews, he was willing to take their place in hell.
Oh, if he could save them, he would go to hell in their place, like Jesus died for the sins of us.
Right. So here, he goes on, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. In other words, he's saying that they're not all the sons of Abraham, but they're the seeds of Abraham.
Right. Kind of like the same with God. All were born, or all were created by God, but not are all the spiritual children of God.
Right.
True children.
So then it goes on to say, that is, they which are the children of the flesh are not the children of God. So he's referring to, especially to the religious leaders, as being the children of the flesh. They are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebecca had conceived by one, by the father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand not of works. What do you think it means by according to election there?
According to the purpose, their destiny?
Yeah. Well, here, when he's making a comparison, Ishmael's mother was Hagar. She was an Egyptian handmaid, if you will.
Right.
Okay, so was she in the promise?
No.
Now, God did say, look, did he not tell her that he would make a great nation out of her son Ishmael?
Yes, he was given a blessing, but that blessing turned out to be kind of a curse to mankind.
Yeah. Well, this is where he compares that now with Esau, with Jacob and Esau. Now, here they had been born together. Who came? Remember, the tradition was the firstborn son gets the blessing. Well,
right.
Ishmael was born before Isaac, but he did not get the blessing, okay? And Esau came out before Jacob. Jacob was holding on to his heel when they were born. And so here now, this is an interesting thing. And this is where people read things in to Scripture that aren't there, okay? In other words, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Now, I've had people say to me time and time again, well, you see, God sent Esau to hell. Does the Bible say that God sent Esau to hell?
No, not that I recall. Didn't see that, but...
Let me ask you this. Is everybody that you know a sinner?
Yes, we're all sinners.
Okay, so now, is sin iniquity?
Yes.
So now...
Sin is it is an iniquity.
Okay, so now, Bible says God hates all of those that commit iniquity, huh?
Yes, he hates sin, so he would hate all of the sinners. He loves those who have repented and turned to him.
Except, right, that's exactly right. Now, we don't know, when he said to Esau he's hated, that doesn't mean, we don't know that Esau didn't repent. You know, God gave him plenty of reason to repent, didn't he?
Yes, and he had plenty of time, and it wasn't mentioned one way or the other, was it?
No, it wasn't. So because it wasn't mentioned one way or the other, we're to leave it alone, aren't we?
Right. We don't have the knowledge to make a judgment.
But I have people say, well, you see, God said, remember how God said Esau to hell. I don't remember that because I don't see where it says that anywhere. Okay.
At the time, God would have even hated David for his sins in killing a man and adultery, but he was forgiven, so he was loved by God. He was a sinner, forgiven by. He went and repented and asked for some, you know, for forgiveness. And we don't know the story on Isaac.
Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 3. And in Revelation chapter 3, read me verses 7 through 13.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word, and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved them. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Okay, so he says, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. Who is the angel of the church?
The pastor. The leader of the church. The pastor. The bishop.
So that word there, angel, in the Greek, angelus, what does that mean in there? In that right here?
Messenger.
Yeah, a messenger, you're right. And so it says, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that is the key of David. Who is that?
Jesus.
Right. Now, the key of David is the open door of what? Evangelism, isn't it?
Right.
In other words, did God say, look, you're going to go out, and I want you to go out and spread the gospel, my gospel, and the whole world will try to stop you, but they will not be able to, because I'm opening that door until the day that I shut that door. And the day that I shut that, when is that going to be, the day that he shuts that door?
Well, but it could happen right after the rapture.
It'll happen when the last person that's going to get saved is saved.
Saved, okay. That's
when it will happen. Now, he goes on to say, but thou hast a little strength that has kept my word and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, which and are not, but do lie. Now, if I was to say, well, let me just say for today, can you give me some example of who you might know of that would fit into that category? And how do you know that? Well, you know it by the fruits they bear, huh? By their actions.
Right. Well, like Nancy Pelosi and several others claim to be Roman Catholic, but claim to be Christian, but they are the farthest thing from a Christian.
No, well, he's talking about Jews here. He said,
okay, then be like
Bernie. How about Bernie Sanders?
Bernie Sanders.
Chuckie Schumer. Bill Gates.
Yeah, that's right.
George Soros.
Soros is, yeah, a Jew that is not a Jew. Yeah.
Right. What about Facebook? What's his name? Mark, what's his name from Facebook?
Zuckerberg.
Okay. How about Hillary Clinton?
She was a Jew early on. But then again, she later on acted like she was a Christian going to church. So, but even those that were, say they're Christians and are not, would be in the same category, right? I mean, like Biden and Pelosi claiming to be religious and knowing God and being so far. I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Well, can you tell by the fruits they bear that they're apostate?
Right. Very easy in their case.
I guess you're right. We're going to go to and play a clip here now. And listen to this clip, because it's something that's taking place right now in the UK. And you will not hear this on the opposition. Our enemies at NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, PMS, what is it, NPR. Folks, their job is to let you know only what the Communist Party wants you to know. But go ahead and play that clip.
They're gearing up for a big cull, and they're all involved. And they're using the protocol, NG191. Jeremy Hunt has just announced, as Chancellor, that he's going to allow social services and the government to take 100,000 from our elderly's assets when they go into the hospitals and the social care settings. Why is that significant? Well, anyone who's been watching any of my recent interviews where I've talked about the protocol NG191, which has been replacing the NG163. This is the end-of-life pathway which they are putting the elderly and disabled on in the hospitals. And that pathway involved morphine and midazolam with NG163, and now it is remdesivir, benzodiazepines and opioids, which is lorazepam as well. And our country has just ordered huge amounts of lorazepam. And it may interest you to know that in February 2020, the shares for lorazepam in 1 month went up by 34%. So they knew worldwide that this was going to be used. Now, they are putting more and more people on this end-of-life pathway. And you can go and look up the palliative care funding review. And that palliative care funding review tells you that they're going to be increasing the palliative care. And it also gives you on one of those pages on that palliative care funding review, which is page 64, it tells you the amount that the deaths of the elderly is going to go up by 2031, which is when their plan goes up to. We have the planned tariff incentivized euthanasia point system in this country, and at this moment 1,642.5 patients must be euthanized in England alone every day, and that includes disabled children, in order for hospitals to get their money. And this is also extended in the care homes. If they go below that target, they lose money. If they go above that target, they gain money. How do they euthanize, which is illegal? They hasten death, and they hasten death by using protocol NG191. It's actually a guideline. And NG191 is remdesivir, benzodiazepines, and opioids. And who is being put on that? The elderly and the disabled. And they're using algorithms. So if you have comorbidities, which it states on page 64 of the palliative care funding, and what it actually states is that the changing demographic with the aging population, with chronic diseases and trajectories and greater comorbidities provide further incentives to improve and expand palliative care provision. Provide further incentives, that's money, to expand palliative, that's increase the amount of people they're going to kill, using NG191. And it also tells you with the expected number of deaths by age between 2011 and 2031 is expected to rise in the 65 plus. It's expected to rise from 370,814 to 448,507 by 2031, minimum. And if they just ordered all that lorazepam, and we know that they gave our elderly five times the amount of the midazolam, five times the amount they should have had during that first 3 months of lockdown, it's all there. The cull is coming, the big, big cull, the one they talk about with the war rooms and gearing up because they're going to have COVID and flu, even though they've just injected everybody with the COVID booster, the flu shot, the shingles shot, and the pneumonia shot. Yes, some elderly in the care homes have just received all of that, their fifth booster as well. Doctors in private clinics who work in the NHS are seeing all of these injected with all of the things wrong with them. One doctor earning 9,000 a day in the private setting doing 10-minute consultations with people suffering from the consequences of the COVID shots. So they're making sure they're gearing up to cause a massive pandemic with all of these different things. And our elderly are getting all these shots all at once, and they're all going to get sick, and they're going to be put on this end-of-life pathway. Who is going to be doing this? The nurses and the doctors. If we look through history at any times, going right back to the 1700s, when you had any times where you had austerity, economic downturn, euthanasia has been practiced. And a lot of these people that are involved in it are also people that are involved in eugenics. They're gearing up for a big cull, and they're all involved. And they're using the protocol, NG191, And you nurses and doctors out there, if you're hastening a death, that's euthanasia. It's illegal in this country. So it's you that's doing it. And history teaches us that when they start to look for who to blame, it's going to stop at your door because you're ultimately the one that did it when you should have said no. And you could have said no. You could have also said, I'm not going to do that. Or that's going to kill the patient, or that's too much. But you didn't. You did it to keep your jobs. So who to blame is going to be sitting at your door.
Then they're going to face the same as everyone else, and it's NG191. And let me tell you, there was another reckoning day yesterday. They literally are killing people. They're killing people on purpose in the hospitals. And there was a court hearing yesterday. They are doing it. And it doesn't matter whether they say they're not doing it. They really are doing it. I have an email under freedom of information that I received yesterday forwarded to me regarding the Welsh paramedics and what they're being told to give just with a phone call. So it's not even when you get to the hospital you're in danger. You're in danger the minute you pick up that phone and you dial 999, the emergency line. You know, they can come into your homes and they're being told what to give you. And it's a nice big bolus dose of let's put you in a coma and finish you off, which is quite scary. So no amount of money is going to protect you from that when you get to a certain age. Only the top. So I mean, everyone's going to recognise Klaus Schwab. He looks like Ming the Merciless. But actually, yeah, that'd be quite
Dr. Evil.
You know that herd. That herd can turn at any time. You watch a herd in the wild. At any time, they can suddenly change direction. This could change direction in a heartbeat. You know.
All righty, we are back, and Joe. I mean, this is where we're at now. It's not just happening there. It's happening here in America too, folks. Believe me.
Exactly, and Canada.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right.
Canada
and again,
sometimes pushing it. Remember back by, in the Obama administration, we were talking about how they wanted the doctors to talk about euthanasia with the as a requirement at a certain health condition, certain age. They were supposed to bring up this as an option. And this country's fighting this now since Obama's administration.
But see, remember after World War II how we used to ask ourselves, how in the world could any people be, how could people be convinced to do the things they did there in Germany and Russia, to kill their own people? How, you know, you wonder, well, we see it happening right here in America today. We see the fake news media, what they call mainstream, going right along. They call it protocol. But they'll go right along, they'll cover it up, and you'll see these people in the grocery store and they'll look at you and smile and talk to you. And what happens is they're so afraid, they're conditioned, they don't want to be outed, okay? They're so afraid, they don't want to be canceled. So they go ahead and pretend like they don't know. They'll pretend like they don't know what's happening, but they know when they're a part of it, and they don't have the courage or the integrity to say, no, I'm not going to be a part of this anymore. I'm not going to be a part. I'm not going to do. This is evil. This is murder. But they go along with it. And the same thing.
With abortion, they know it's murder, but it's been one of those things that people are afraid to speak up because, as you know, the left uses the line, all women want the right to have an abortion. Wrong. That's a big lie, but they push all women want this, all people want that. And as long as, even in the, we talked about the Homosexual Manifesto, the first plank was free and unfettered abortions. Well, sodomites do not need abortions. So why is abortion the first plank of their manifesto? Because as long as we continue to murder our own children, there's no more moral high ground to stand on. And so everybody backs off of trying to do the moral ground thing because we've already given it up politically. Not you and I in the church, but politically they gave up the high ground.
Well, we're fighting, you know, we've been fighting this, and we're going to continue to fight with every ounce of breath that we have in us until...
Right.
till the Lord comes back.
Satan wants to kill, destroy everything created in the image of God, and he will never quit until he's banished to the lake of fire.
Joe, I got to make some quick announcements here, folks. Doers of the Word Church, starting this Sunday, the evening service will start at 5, at 5 instead of 6, starting this Sunday. And so what's going to happen, we're going to show, we have that class, the Bible and Current Events, and we're going to show a clip today, or play a clip today, just a small portion of one that's about 55 minutes long, where at the church you can see the documentation. The documentation will be right there in front of you where you can see it all. And that is going to be talking about how, that's Laura Logan and Sashua Latapova, and they're going to be showing you in the documentation how the Department of Defense is behind this whole COVID thing, these kill shots, and the depopulation here of America, how the Department of Defense is behind the depopulation of America here, folks. Now, a lot of you people out there, a lot of you have relatives that are not saved, or relatives that are clueless. They actually watch the evening news, NBC, ABC, and believe what they watch. And when you tell them this, they're trained. They've been programmed to say conspiracy theory because they don't know any better. That's their conditioning and their programming. But what we're going to show you is the actual factual concrete evidence, and so that you'll know this. And see, that's what we do here. We are here to warn the people. The Bible says to warn the wicked and the righteous, and that's what we're here to do, to let you know what is happening. Okay. Now, today, Joe, I had gone to, just tonight, in fact, this evening, we came back just before showtime here, and I went to the Nowaka. Now, Nowaka, now they have their 2030 and 2050 agenda. And, Joe, I got to tell you, the legalisms used in the way that this thing was framed in this con game, that's what it is, the way it was framed in such a manner, Joe, as to say, as what they're saying, and through this legalistic term, is by attending this meeting, by you attend this meeting, you are in agreement with their agenda. Well, it couldn't have been farther from the truth. Let me tell you what happened. We warned people, remember last night about this. They have a very, very sinister plans for people in the five counties. You folks out there know, those counties are Cuyahoga, Geauga, Lake, Lorain, and Medina. Now, what happened, Joe, they asked questions. The people were there. When I got there, it looked like they had chairs set up for maybe 20 people. But when we put that warning out yesterday, I noticed two things. First of all, there was only about a few chairs set up, and I looked, and there were four police officers in the back of the room standing there. So now they expected, apparently, somebody says, well, you may have, the Christians might be here tonight. The Christian Patriots, and they were. Here they came, Joe. There weren't no 20 people. There was about 100. The room was packed. It was filled from top to bottom. And here, this presentation was going on in all of these five counties at one time. In fact, they had like seven presentations. So apparently they've had possibly two in Cuyahoga or Lake County. And so they asked you these questions here. One, how will regional co-benefits of climate actually personality improve your quality of life? Now, Joe, let me ask you this. What does roads and bridges have to do with climate?
Absolutely nothing, unless it's the engineers have to take in places where it freezes and thaws and weight of snow. Other than that, nothing.
Well, you say this, Nowaka, their jurisdiction is supposedly, according to the government, only on bridges and roads. Roads and bridges. That's what they're supposed to be. But now they're talking about controlling the weather. They've got a plan on how they can control the weather. Now, here, the question was, how will regional co-benefits of climate action personally improve your quality of life? Now, you notice the way that these things are worded. Well, so they didn't get the answer.
A professional facilitator who raises the questions to get specific answers that they have already predetermined they want.
Right. So what the way this worked, they had a big screen in all the seven locations, and you would answer this. They gave you a code with your smart aleck phones. You would type that in with your smart aleck phone. You would answer that, each question, and then your answer would appear upon the screens in all seven places, see? And so here, again, when they asked that, how will regional co-benefits of climate actually personally improve your quality of life? The answers came up by Nawaka leaving our county, by going away, okay? Then they asked this,
what the facilitator was expecting.
No, it wasn't. But they were doing the best trying to ignore this. People were laughing and bursting out. I mean, the whole point of the people that were telling them, we don't want you here. We do not want you here. There was only one person besides the facilitators that I saw that was with the Nawaka that was sitting in the audience. Now, he says, if there were no barriers, meaning money or time or expertise, if there was no barriers, what is the top action or investment would you make to reduce your carbon footprint? And the answers came back by gaslighting Nawaka. One, okay. Here, they didn't expect these answers, see? What actions or programs could Nawaka include in its climate action plan that would make it easier for you to reduce your carbon footprint? By try telling the truth. Here you go. This is rank the climate hazards by level of threat to the region. Changing seasonal conditions, extreme heat, drought, severe winter, flooding, severe thunderstorms, or impact on Lake Erie. The answer was the first, number one, the biggest hazard to the county was Nawaka. They put that was the biggest number. They themselves were the biggest risk to the county. And impacts on Lake Erie, people said, go jump into it. Go jump into Lake Erie. Then, why do you feel... Or who do you feel is the most vulnerable to climate impacts? Do you know what the answer was, Joe?
Nawaka.
Nope, it was the vaxxed. The vaxxed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but see, anyhow, the people just, what they did is they let them know in no uncertain terms, we don't want you here. Leave our county. Just leave our county. And so, They're very sinister. You know what the Agenda 2030 agenda is, don't you?
It's basically a recycled old Agenda 21. A little few changes in words and definitions, but it's the same old story.
Right. It's about control, 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 and control.
People together, the more they're compacted together in cities, the easier they are to control and regulate and rule. This, I remember back in the early 90s, my wife and I going to meetings, they were trying to bring the same kind of thing into Missouri, and it was government control over land, water, you know, the environment. We've got to save the environment, do all this stuff. It's been presented in different counties, in different states. It's the same story. They change even within a state, a few words, definitions. But this has been going on for over 30 years.
Yep.
It's been going on close to 50, actually. And it's the same story. Change a few words. Remember the Fabian Socialists way back in the 1890s? Words were going to be the weapon of the new warfare. By changing and shifting words, We would change the definitions. We would change the debate. We would catch people off guard, fool them. And it's history repeating itself over and over and over. And what they do is they would jump from one state to another and kind of hide. So what we saw in Missouri wasn't happening in Arkansas, but later popped up in North Carolina, or would later pop up in Arizona, and nobody would put it together that they were making these attacks in different places to what stay under the radar so the people couldn't figure out what they were up to.
Well, we were talking yesterday about what was happening in Brazil and also in France, and what you're not seeing, not even a minute of it on any of the so-called mainstream media. But there,
here's the reason, like, if we have time, what happened in Brazil is a complete carbon copy of the Biden-Trump election. We had Bolsonaro, who was a conservative, very popular. The people loved him. He was running for re-election.
He would turn out huge crowds, just like President Trump did.
He was loved, right, popular.
Yep.
Inácio da Silva, they call him Lulu, was a communist, okay? Allied with the Chinese Communist Party. He was put in prison, convicted of massive corruption, and that was supposed to end his, you know, political career, but he got out on a technicality, and right after getting out, he ran against this loved conservative. The vote went 50.9% to the communist and 49.1% to Bolsonaro.
Where have I heard those numbers before, Joe?
They were just like, yeah, the Trump-Biden. Now, remember, they had all electronic voting machines. Now,
the same ones, the same ones.
Companies,
yep.
Same machines, right. Now,
Dominion.
I want everybody to hear this. Joe Biden, months before this election took place, okay, sent a message to Bolsonaro. And in the message, he told him not to contest the election if he lost. Think about that. What did Bolsonaro think of this warning coming from Biden? Bolsonaro clearly remembered the 2020 election in the U.S. He knew it had been fixed, rigged, stolen, whatever you want to call it. So the Brazilian election had no paper ballots, just machines. And this is perfect. Remember, some regions, the communists received all the votes.
All of the votes, 100%.
There was no opposition, none. He received all in a heavily contested area. The communists got all the votes. Just exactly like you and I saw in the Trump-Biden election, some of those contested areas, all of a sudden the votes flipped from, you know, 150,000 plus to 200,000 ahead for Biden to flip overnight. Same thing happened, only this time it was all the votes. That's mathematically impossible that their a loved man didn't get one vote in a big region. No, come on, folks. So here we have history repeating itself.
Well, that's Joe, that's not the end of it. That's not the end of it, you see.
Oh, no.
Brazilian Senator Lula's justice minister knew about the attack beforehand, stood by, and did nothing. Now, remember what they called January 6th? It was a coup. Nancy Pelosi was up to her eyeballs involved in that coup. That was a coup against President Trump. Okay, now, here,
the FBI instigated and ran it.
And they knew about it weeks ahead of time. Right. And we just talked about that. The police chief at that time said that we knew about it weeks ahead of time, and they made sure it went off, okay? Now, here, what happened there in Brazil, Joe, is Brazilian Senator Marcos de Laval says, the evidence that the new leftist justice minister, Flavio Dino, was informed of the threat against government buildings in Brasilia and did nothing.
Nothing.
Now, you don't suppose that they had dirty cops there, like they had the dirty cops here in the FBI, that was behind that whole thing, do you?
So far, it's a carbon copy. Change a couple of names from Trump and Biden, you know, and we've got a carbon copy. But the big difference here is, well, the similarity was the media was behind the communists, big tech was behind the communists. Brazil is the biggest country in South America. China has wanted control over South America, and now they have a ally of the Chinese Communist Party running the biggest country in South America. Coincidence? I don't think so.
And in Brazil, what is a couple of their major exports, like Argentina? Beef
is one, yep. And China imports a lot of beef.
Yeah, so there's going to be, and there's going to be a tremendous amount of shortages here.
Food.
Well, right now in Europe, there's already a tremendous amount. People are starving to death in Germany and London and England. That's why they're trying to kill off so many of the old people.
We told them months ago that, you know, to stock up on food. We said there was going to be a problem with food all over the world. And look, here just in the U.S., all of a sudden, there were a lot of chickens dying because somehow they couldn't get food to the big chicken farms that were growing chicken or to the places where the egg production facilities. They couldn't get the railroad cars full of food. Then we have the bird flu and all kinds of things are going on. We're losing food in America. Beef production's down. The chicken poultry's down. Hog production's down. And what are they trying to do? They're promoting this new artificial meat, artificial beef and chicken. And the government's trying to back that because cows give away gas, flatulence, and that's bad for global.
So does Washington, D.C., a lot of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad gas there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of bad gas now, you do know that Biden says you got to get rid of your gas stove.
Over my dead body, I also have not only a gas stove. The reason I have it is when the electric goes out, I can use the oven to cook with. The top, of course, in the oven. But the oven can also produce heat. Turn on the oven, open the door, and the gas heat helps warm the house, keeps it from freezing. And besides that, I like cooking on gas better than electric. So does my wife. And if they go after gas and the electric stoves, then what about all the big central heating out here where it's cold? Most of the people have gas backup instead of electricity because the electricity was too expensive and not always reliable, or your own gas in your own tank on the farm is totally reliable.
Joe, do you think it's possible we're going to see here in the near future now possibly how dangerous natural gas is and having some of these...
They're going to bring up every negative thing they can think of.
Well, I think you might see a bunch of explosions like we've never had in the past. A huge increase. I don't know for a fact, but that's normally the way they do things. Okay, we're up against a hard break. When we come back from that break, we're going to take go right into the video. We'll be back after this.
And then I've got a big story that follows all the stuff we're talking about.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.